shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I've met this blessed Savior, since he's cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. I don't mind telling you, these are the last ones in the hopper. These sermons for this the day I met Jesus, these were actually written before the social distancing thing. I work off of a calendar. I try to get some base sermons to our worship team so they can start picking out songs and designing worship services. And so these were already written, so that means that I am nipping and tucking and trying to make a few changes here and there, but I did not rewrite these sermons after we started social distancing. Next sermon series, well, that one was sort of written while we're in isolation, and it's going to maybe have to be some transitions, because maybe by the time that one's open, we'll actually have people back in the building. We'll just kind of see. But because this was written beforehand, it starts with something that is a big part of our church, and really I haven't shown you in quite a while, but I thought this would be a good point. And I started to take this out, but then I decided, you know what? This is important. It's important that we not lose sight of our mission. And our mission, quite frankly, our purpose is to give glory to God by meeting people where they are and sharing Jesus with them in a meaningful way and encouraging them to live in a growing relationship with him. And I just look at those verbs, meet, share, encourage, and grow, and I think, how is that supposed to work in a world like this? Well, where are you right now? You're at home. And guess what? Here we come. Where are you right now? You're struggling with looking for connection. And guess what? We've been calling. We've been emailing. We've been trying to keep track of your lives as best we can. We're trying to encourage you. And all along the way, we're beginning to share Jesus in the ways that we are sharing with one another. And whether you know it or not, you're going to grow through this experience. You might not like it. Nobody likes growing, because growing is painful. And we're going to grow through this experience. We will not be the same people on the other side of this that we were. And so our purpose is still strong. But notice, our purpose is centered around this person of Jesus. And then, of course, to go with our mission, we have a vision. And this gets really complicated where we're at right now, because our vision simply says this is the way you go about accomplishing the mission. You go into the community. You bring the community into a crowd. That's totally a no-no these days. Then you take the crowd and you connect them to Christ, and then you take those connected and you teach them what it means to have a commitment to follow. And I began to think about that word crowd, and you know what? The thing is a crowd doesn't have to be hundreds of people. There's a crowd at my house. We call them family. There are four of us under the same roof, and trust me, it feels like a crowd sometimes, because right now sometimes you can't find a quiet place to go and think. The point is that wherever we are, we still should be pointing people to Christ. And all of this brought us into this idea that this year we're going to talk about the idea of living faith. And all of the sermons are connected to this particular principle of looking at living faith. And well, living faith, we've been looking at it, and we realized that living faith is not just about following some rules. Living faith is about following Jesus. The two ideas are definitely not one and the same. Remember the little church in Ephesus that we started this whole thing off with. It says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. And so if you're going to have a love affair with Jesus, if you're going to get back into this relationship with Jesus, if you're going to actually focus your relationship where it needs to be, then you know what? Understanding who Jesus is very important. And well, that's what we've been doing. We are studying the person of Jesus. And in this particular series, we are studying how people came to meet Jesus. Now, again, I remind you, I purchased a book. And that's what kind of inspired this. And there were five ladies in that book. And if you purchased the book and you started reading along with us because you thought, oh, it'd be good to want to have the minister, and you're going to now figure out I'm sort of veering off of the book because this week's lady and last and next week's lady are not in that book. These ladies kind of had a day when they met Jesus, but I just wanted to kind of focus on these two ladies because they had some unique ways that they met Jesus. Our first lady that met Jesus, remember, she was drugged there kicking and screaming. She was the woman that was caught in adultery. The next woman that met Jesus that we looked at, well, she was looking for Jesus. She actually came seeking, and she came and she anointed him. The next two ladies that we're going to look at, well, they have some things in common. Neither were seeking Jesus. Both were just living their life as best as they could. One dealing with a debilitating illness and the other dealing with the ultimate personal tragedy. And enter Jesus. And everything changes. How about we take a look at the story from this first woman?
Woman, you are free from your sickness.
Look! Look, she's cured!
It's a miracle!
Look, she's cured! Look, she's free!
Praise to the Lord! God keep you, Rabbi.
There are 6 days in which we should work. So come on one of those days to be healed, but not on the Sabbath.
You hypocrites! Any one of you would untie his ox or his donkey and take it out from the stall to give it water on the Sabbath. Now here is this descendant of Abraham whom Satan has kept in bonds these 18 years. Should she not be released on the Sabbath?
Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. That's a long time to deal with an illness. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you were set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on one of those days, not the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or your donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all of his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all of the wonderful things he was doing. Once again, like the other stories we've looked at, this woman almost gets lost in her own story. We get an obscured focus whenever we talk about this because, like the other two stories, this woman gets lost in the idea of religion. This is important because in introducing people to Jesus, we must be sure we are not just introducing them to follow another religion. See, here's what you need to know. Religion, it kills living faith. It doesn't enhance it. It doesn't make it better. Religion tries to teach us to live right so that we can follow God. And that sounds really good. You know, if I put a bunch of rules in and I can get everybody to follow the rules, then we're all going the same way and that must lead our way to God. But you got to remember, there are a lot of flavors of religion out there. Living faith, on the other hand, asks us to follow Jesus and allow Him to remake your life. And it's important that we remember this, because the goal of the exercise isn't just to follow rules. The goal of the exercise is to have our lives changed. See, the issue is the time Jesus faced his woman, he healed on the Sabbath. And well, the Pharisees were in love with the Sabbath. Now, I can't say that I blame them. If you go all the way back to the Ten Commandments, God told Moses to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Of course, to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, they had made all kind of rules and regulations of things that you could do and you couldn't do on the Sabbath. And if you did the things you weren't allowed to do, then you were punished. And working was one of them, and they deemed the idea of healing work. And so therefore, they told Jesus he was wrong. And well, Jesus messed all this up, because what happened? They became indignant. I like that word. Have you ever seen somebody become indignant? The feeling of annoyance at what is perceived as unfair and improper treatment. They looked at this and they said, Jesus, you're not supposed to do that. Jesus, you're not supposed to do it this way. Jesus, you broke the rules. And they began to fuss at Jesus. Can you believe this? Can you believe they actually had the gall? And the funny thing is, Jesus told them, your priorities, they are all messed up. Because, well, you made an exception for a donkey, but not a person. He said, you hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or your donkey from the stall and lead it and give it out and give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? And wouldn't this make a great sermon? Stubborn mules prefer to minister to dumb oxen and old donkeys. Because that's exactly what they preferred. They would rather minister to the rules than have compassion for people. When you look at our vision, our purpose, and the idea that we want to introduce people to Jesus, it isn't so we can grow in numbers. It isn't so we can put more people in the pew. It isn't so our budget can get bigger. It isn't so that we can feel some esteem. You understand this because we understand that Jesus is the answer to what's wrong. And our compassion leads us into wanting you to have that same relationship. We're not interested in being stubborn about a rule, and we're not interested in going to the point where we forget about people just to make a rule work. Now, what about this woman's faith? And, well, just like the other women we've already looked at, this woman's faith does not exactly look like what we expect. Here's a revolutionary concept. Her faith began with the idea that she showed up. Jesus was already teaching. She was already there. Physically, this woman just simply was in the right place at the right time. That doesn't sound so hard. I mean, coming to church once a week isn't that difficult. Or is it? When our buildings were open, how prevalent was church on your radar? Maybe you began tuning in because, well, you have to be stuck in the house. At least this is something a little bit different than what I've been doing. So you tuned in to kind of get the point. But you do understand the point is that this woman was in the right place at the right time because she already had faith. She was already following God. See, she did not allow her physical limitations to become a faith liability. It says that she had been crippled for 18 years and she was bent over and could not straighten up at all. So this woman kind of walked with a hunch. And I'm not talking about an idea. I'm talking about she literally had a hunch. I've got back issues. I've had them for about 12 years. I'll save you the story of how they started. But I understand what it feels like to have your back hurt to the point that you really can't move like you want to move. And the funny thing is, when it came to this woman, some people said that she had a demon. Others like to debate whether or not it was just purely physical. And, well, if you began to start debating what this woman's illness was, you've missed the point. See, the point is, it had been going on for 18 years, and this woman, she was still holding fast to her faith. As a matter of fact, she had every reason in the world not to be there. She could give all kind of great reasons, not excuses. Well, you know, it's just hurting too bad today. You know what? I just don't think I can walk to the temple today. Did you ever wonder what it felt like? This woman, she realized living faith was consistent faith. She realized that that point at which she was having living faith makes it consistent faith. And that was a pretty big catch for her. In the church that I came from, we had this lady. Her name was Geneva Hensley. I've talked about her before. Geneva was a great testimony to me because Geneva had a breathing problem. She suffered from a disease called COPD. And it made it very difficult for her to do anything. As a matter of fact, she had to carry around a little oxygen tank just to do the most simplistic things. But you know what? She was there every single week. There were a lot of things that she couldn't do. But whenever you went looking for somebody to do something, she was always the first one to want to raise her hand. Now, she couldn't set the nursery, but she did figure out that, you know what, she could still minister to kids. She started doing toy collections so that we would have things to give away during our time of meetings with our kids, and she would, like, collect the toys. She made phone calls. She ministered. She didn't allow what was broken in her life to impact her because living faith is consistent faith. And here's the thing. I know this about Geneva. She lived this way all the way until the day the Lord called her home. Living faith being consistent faith. Now, this woman's faith, well, when Jesus saw her, he called her forward. Now, I first look at that and I'm thinking, come on, Jesus, have a little compassion. This woman's got a physical limitation. That this woman can't do some of the things that I can do. You should have went to her, right? You should have came away from what you were, and you should have went to her, but he didn't do that. He called her forward. And I began to wonder what she felt like when Jesus told her to come on down. I'm sure she had probably heard, this man is a miracle worker. He had made the blind see, and he had made the lame walk, and he had made the mute speak and the deaf to hear. And you know what? He had even been known to cast out some evil spirits. Now he's calling me. Do you think she paused to wonder what others would think? She knew what day of the week it was. I mean, if I go forward and he heals me on this day, man, it's going to cause a big stir. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be the center of attention. I don't think she probably did. I expect that the moment Jesus told her to come on down, she looked like one of those contestants on The Price is Right. Woohoo! I've been picked. I'm coming on down. Jesus, you stay right there. I'll be there as fast as I can possibly make it. Man, she probably pushed her way past the aisles and she got out there and she came down there. She probably did as best she could to make sure she could get to Jesus. See, this is your takeaway. When you meet Jesus, you best be ready to move. You know, in our vision, we talk about the idea that we want to go and meet people. We want to go and share. We want to go and encourage. But you do understand, we never want to leave you where we met you. The goal is to move you closer to Christ, closer to a relationship with Jesus. And every step you take in getting close to Jesus, it is going to change the way that you do life. There is no doubt about it. Please notice her crippled state. He asked her to come to him and not again the other way around. With what she was struggling with, it would have been very easy when he said, hey, come on to me. She said, can you meet me halfway? Come on, you're younger than me. I mean, you're in your 30s. I'm an older woman. Actually, we don't know how old she was. It's just that she'd been suffering for 18 years. So we just assumed that she was an older woman. We don't know how old she really was. But she could have easily looked at Jesus and said, meet me halfway. But Jesus made her come all the way to him. She had to move. And you know, in the verses that I read, I don't hear her complaining one bit. I don't hear her complaining one bit. As a matter of fact, it doesn't even have a pause. It was just a seamless transition where Jesus saw her. His heart went out to her. He said, woman, come on forward. And it just said, she came. She came to Jesus. She didn't have any conditions at all other than get close to Christ. And because she got close to Christ, this woman was set free. This is what it says. Woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Now, I totally get the freedom Jesus is talking here is the freedom from a disorder. No longer would she walk around with that hunch. No longer would she walk around maybe having to drag herself along a little bit. No more would she need a cane. It says she was completely healed. And while our passage talks about that, I do want us to understand that we too, us, we are also set free when we come into this relationship with Christ. Now, this is not a promise that when you come into a relationship with Christ, that he's going to heal every physical infirmity. But there is going to be some healing that happens the moment you come into this relationship. This is what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare that every man who lets himself be circumcised, that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Now, I've got to give you a little bit of backstory. In the early church, there was this Jewish practice called circumcision. And it was actually given to the Jews all the way back with Moses, and then, all the way back with Abraham, that the Jewish people were supposed to be circumcised, and they were practicing it to this day all the way up to this point. And when the church came along, and then the church began to move outside the Jewish realms, this practice went with them. And they began telling the Greeks and the Romans and the other cultures that were not Jewish that were accepting Christ, that if you really want to be a Christian, if you really want to be in good standing with God, if you really want to do this and you're a male, then you have to get circumcised. You can't be a Christian unless you are circumcised. And just so you know, this is a battle that went all the way back to the early church and on and on and on it went. From the moment the culture reached the Greeks and the message reached the Greeks, this became an issue. Here's the thing. It didn't go away. Even though the church made some rulings on it, the early church said, no, we don't think they have to do this, and we don't think this is part of the plan. The plan is all about Jesus. But you do get the idea. It continued on. People tried to enforce a rule. And Paul comes along here and says, you know what? There's nothing wrong with being circumcised. But if you're leaning on circumcision or some physical act to save you, then all you're doing is you're just living by a bunch of more rules. You're just living by another set of rules that aren't going to set you free. And when it comes to us, freedom is a big deal. I love these verses because Paul reminds us what Jesus is saying is, in the day of the Pharisees, I came to free them, not to enslave them. My living faith is supposed to free me to follow Christ, not pile on another burden of laws and rules and regulations that I have to drag along. Freedom's become very important to us these days because, have you seen it? People are upset because, you know what? Our freedom is being taken away from us, is what they're saying. You force this business to close and that business to close, and I can't go here, and you don't want me to do this, and you've taken away my liberty and my freedom because you put restrictions on my life. And a lot of times that's the way Jesus is viewed. He put restrictions on our life, and Paul says, no, that's not what he did. He brought freedom. He took all of those old laws and he fulfilled them. And then he came forward and he said, I'm going to give you a new covenant. And here's the new covenant. Don't care so much about the laws. Care more about the relationship with me. His message never changed. His message was always just simply, follow me. Now, before we think we want to take all the rules and throw them away and think, you know what, that means that I don't need any of that stuff in the Bible. That makes the Bible irrelevant because I just need Jesus. You have to remember, freedom brings responsibility. Continuing on in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but not to use your freedom to indulge the flesh, rather to serve one another humbly in love. So you got to get the picture here. So basically, you can look at us as when we're living in sin, that we are sins to our, we are slaves to our sin. And so our sin rules our life, and we are dictated by our sin. And then we get to Jesus, and he frees us from that. But then in return, he says, but now the next thing I want you to do is I want you to turn back around and take your freedom and give it back to those that are still enslaved in sin so that you can become a testimony to them to lead them away from their sin and into a relationship. It's a responsibility. Because Paul tells us, our freedom in Christ should be used to help others become free in Christ. That's the whole nature of the purpose statement that we've got, that you know what? I want to do these things in such a way that I can go out and get involved in other people's life and show them what a difference Jesus has made in my life so that then they can come into a relationship of who Jesus is in their life. And then together we can encourage one another so that we grow, so that as we grow, we go back to the beginning and we go out and we meet people and we begin to build their life. You see, it's supposed to be an endless loop. I work in the IT world, and I don't like endless loops because eventually endless loops cause crashes in computers. But you understand that God has no limits. He doesn't have too much, not enough RAM or not enough hard disk space. The endless loop is just supposed to keep going and going and going. And as we meet more people, then you know what? We should be creating more followers for Christ. Because this freedom, we become free to serve the Master that gave us the freedom. I'm free. I am free to serve God in whatever ministry He puts in front of me. Whatever ministry God puts out there for me to do, I am free to do it. You notice Jesus didn't have a lot of rules. Jesus didn't have a lot of requirements. As a matter of fact, Jesus only had one requirement, that is that you follow Him. All of the things and all the baggage that you bring with Him, when He looked at those apostles and He said, hey, you're a fisherman. I can use that. How about we make you fishermen of men? When He saw tax collectors, He didn't see them as sinners. He saw them as their potential for all of the wonderful skills that they had. When He saw prostitutes, when He saw others, He said, you know what? I'm not limited by what you struggle with. I'm only limited in what you're not willing to give me to use. And so He could take all of those things that we do as part of our life and refocus them so that we can begin to be free. Free to serve. Free to share. And more importantly, free to praise God. You find it interesting? This was the first thing this woman did after she got healed. I mean, after she got healed, she didn't sit down and try to have this big theological discussion of whether or not it was okay for her to get healed on the Sabbath versus not being healed on the Sabbath. She just sat down and, you know, she didn't even call over for it. What was the immediate thing it says she did? It says she began to praise God. I have to be quite honest. I don't know that I'm praising God much these days. I got a lot of struggles. I got a lot of busy in my life. And I think sometimes we need to remember that is the most basic form of following. Now, praise doesn't mean that we have to get together and fire up the online machine back there and everybody get in front of their television and we bring Lauren here to play some music and Lynn here to sing because you don't want me to lead singing. Trust me. Caleb doesn't have to get drug out of the bed for us to praise and sit there and sign everybody on to make sure everybody is orchestrated and the sound sounds right. We don't have to have all that. Praising God is just simply acknowledging God in your life. It can be as simple as in the morning when you get up and you say, thanks, God. Another day I got breath. Maybe a praise for God is that moment when your kids are driving you crazy and you're ready to lock them outside the house. Lord, thank you that they're healthy. Lord, thank you that they're here. Maybe praising God is forgetting some of the struggles that we have and begin to look at all the blessings we have. Roofs over our head, food on our tables, cars, things. It's gotten more complicated to go and find groceries, but you know what? I don't remember going to bed hungry. Now I realize there are people in this world that struggle with the basics of life, and that's the point. The point is when I become thankful for what I have, it releases me to share what I have with others. As long as I'm grousing about what I don't have, then it requires me to hold on to what I do have. I am no longer free to praise God. The other thing this woman didn't do, he healed her back. He didn't say, well, you know, Jesus, I also got this elbow. It squeaks a little when I do it. Lord, did I tell you about my knees? Man, my knees hurt. You know, I have a pain in my neck. And you know what? I get up with headaches. And my allergies, God, if you fix that, that would make me all better. She didn't begin to give him another list of things that she needed done. It says she just looked at him and began to praise. She praised him for what she had received. She had received healing, and she had received freedom. Things that this woman hadn't experienced in 18 years. Things she could never, ever done for 18 years. I got a feeling she didn't complain much about a long line at the market, because it's probably the first time she'd been to the market in 18 years. Somebody probably did her shopping for her. See, that's the point. Healing and freedom, that's part of who Jesus is. And the question you have to ask yourself, have you met this Jesus? Now, I ask you that question, you're like, well, I want to meet that Jesus. Man, I got a whole bunch of things he can fix. Man, I like the idea of freedom. Here's what I mean. Have you met this Jesus? Are you living your life in such a way that if I looked at your life, you could say, you know what? There is something different about you. Yeah, you still have the aches and pains that I deal with, but you know what? You seem to be okay with it. You know what? You're not so stuck up on trying to do this, that, and the other. You're much more interested in people. See, that's the point of this woman's story. This woman, everybody else was concerned with the Sabbath. Everybody else was concerned with the rules. Jesus was afraid, was only concerned with the woman. What were her needs? How could I meet her? What would be meaningful to this woman? You know what? Not another lesson on how good you have to be in order to get to heaven. She didn't need that. You know what she did need? Somebody to show some compassion on her life. To offer her back the idea that, you know what? You can be healed. But more importantly than being healed, you can be free. Because see, on that day, he didn't just free her from a backache. On that day, as he looked at those Pharisees in the temple, he looked at them and said, you know what? You've got it all wrong. You got it all mixed up. You're lambasting this woman for being here. And she didn't come here to be healed. She came here to listen. You're lambasting this woman because she got healed on the Sabbath, because you're so consumed with the Sabbath. You're more interested in dumb oxen and stubborn old donkeys. Because you're just a stubborn mule. And he pulled no punches. And so this morning, as you're tuning into the sound of my voice, I'm hoping that maybe you understand this is the Jesus we want to introduce you to. Not one that's going to put a bunch of rules and regulations into your life. Not ones where we're going to be crossing off these little checkbooks, say, if you did this, you did this, you're all good. I want you to meet the real Jesus. The Jesus this woman met. The Jesus that set her free. Made her whole. This morning, if you're here and you want to meet that Jesus, and I mean here, you're in the sound of my voice, this is where it gets complicated. Because, you know, we do invitations in church and we ask you to come on down and we ask you to do this or do that, to confirm what you're doing, and you can't do all of this socially. But here's what I can offer you. Today, if you want to meet that Jesus, then you know what? I'm going to do a time of prayer. You can pray right along. I'm not going to feed you words to pray. Your prayer can just be simple as, Jesus, I want to know you. Then if you want to talk afterwards, or you want to just kind of hang out together and talk about it, we can't be in the same location maybe, but you know what? You can drop me a line through email. Our contact information, Caleb, if you'll put that back up for me. Our contact information is there. And you can either email me, you can call me, we can chat. And you know what, if I can't answer your questions, we've got elders and other people that can talk with you and meet with you and have lots of time to sit down and talk with you. Just whatever you need to do today, make sure when you leave here, you ask yourself, am I free? And has my life been healed? Have I met this Jesus? We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing.